May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I call Avery, who's like my sister, Ave. Ave, you know, the old Ave Maria, which just means Hail Mary. But the word Hail doesn't mean, or Ave doesn't just mean praise. It literally means you who are all about the praise of the glory of His grace. You're here. Your existence is because of the praise of the glory of His grace. That's what Ave means. I wrote it in the devotional. I just posted it, so hopefully some of you do that, haven't read it yet, so it's not redundant within 15 minutes. But hopefully it'll reinforce later in the afternoon. One of the scriptures that I've just been fascinated with lately, and you do know your life in Christ is a continual and perpetual refascination about some new thing about the beauty of the Lord. It'll be that way forever, actually. He's going to make heaven heaven. But the cool thing, because He's the way, it's heaven on the way to heaven, too. And is that scripture from Colossians 3:11, where it basically says, the Christian life is a renewal, a transformation, and it doesn't matter where you've been, who you are, or what you've experienced, or how much pain you carry. It's a transformation because Christ is in every one of us, and He's all. I just love that statement. Christ is all. It's so summary. It's so conclusive. He's all and He's in all. And it does a lot for me. One, just as a pastor, as a teacher, I have just refreshed, renewed hope for every person I know who's a believer. Because the opportunity for life and life more abundant is just as real to you as it is to somebody who's never experienced rejection. Of course, there's no one like that. Or somebody who may have never known pain. Or it doesn't matter. Christ is all and He's in all. And so the hope is the same. The hope of glory is the same for everybody. But I've just, as I wrote in the devotional, I said, it's just like my redeemed imagination is soaring the heights of just what that word means. I mean, how do you ever get through pondering the word all? If it's that means that, you're always just considering some, because you can never finish getting all. But you know it's out there somewhere. And so even though you don't know all the parts yet, you know somehow this thing is so amazingly inclusive that Christ is all. But I think about the guy who wrote that and his life in the Lord. What we would think of the super deluxe model who can't be like us, the Apostle Paul, who was very much like us. How he came to that place of not just speaking that word theologically, but out of his own renewal, out of his own relationship with the Lord. And so I thought, I'll just read a couple of scriptures and to kind of give you some more insight into this guy who wrote those words. Like, here's Romans chapter 7. So listen to him in his struggle. He says, for we know, verse 14, that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, I don't understand, for I am not practicing what I'd like to do. And he's writing this as a believer, to believers. But I'm doing the very thing I hate. Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? For that which he said, but if I do the very thing I do not wish, I agree with the law, with the truth, confessing it's good. So it's no longer am I, but the one doing it, but there's a sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not wish. But if I'm the one doing the very thing I do not wish, there's something in my inner man that no longer wants to do it, but there's sin that dwells in me. I find then the truth, the principle, that there's evil present in me, the one who really wants to do good. I joyfully concur with the law of God in my heart, but I see a different law in the members of my humanity, waging war against the law of my heart, making me a prisoner, the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? And he gives the answer. I used to read this for years and go, well, don't stop there. Don't say, thanks be to God, goodbye. Sign it off. And I really really realized it one day. He was inviting us to sign in, to sign on. Because the answer was, thanks be to God through a person, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he's talking about his struggle coming to that place. And then I love this one in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, we do not want you to be aware, verse 8, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life, indeed as if we had the very sentence of death within ourselves. Not out, but within. In order that we shouldn't trust in ourselves anymore, but learn to trust in God who raises the dead. See, it was like there was a sentence of death in my inner man trying to put something to death so that I would learn to trust in Him who raises the dead. You see, that's the story of the guy who said, Christ is all, and who's in all. Because one of the things that's generally true, doesn't have to be true, it can be your experience from the very beginning, because it's the truth about you from the very beginning, the moment you get saved. The most seasoned Christians who's had the most amazing encounters doesn't have more than you start off with. You've been made full, complete in Christ. That's just the reality of it. You can start living life, a life more abundant beginning. But the truth is, for most of us, because of the fall's effect on us and our self-determination, we have to come to some place of spiritual crisis. And it can often be used by circumstances, like Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12. But at least at some point, it really should just be an 11-day journey. That's how long it took them to get from Egypt to the shores of the promised land. But because they couldn't believe, they wandered around for 40 years, so they finally got it, that what was always true for them and true about them, they could have walked in after that 11-day journey. And so it was probably only about 11 days into my Christian life that I discovered there was a sentence of death in me and that I was going to have to start faking it like I discovered everybody else was. Because no matter what I was doing on the outside, there were these inward battles going on. I just couldn't, something, it was something not right. But the thing that God blessed me with, you know, my testimony is that when I gave my life to Christ, I was mentally ill. Seriously mentally ill. And so it didn't take long for me to realize that I can't do this thing. And it's in that process I discovered that Christ was my all. And what I discovered was simply this. I came to a place where I discovered in the midst of that spiritual crisis that no matter how much I tried to do it right on the outside, that's the righteousness of the law, on the inside there were these wars and battles, and my main goal was to wear enough veil so people didn't see that. That was like just between me and the Lord and all the millions of angels who were observing. And but here's the issue. You come to a place when you discover that He's all that you have. You know what I mean? It's like your prayer partner and the prayer chain and the inner healing and the yada yada. Nothing, something's not working, and all you got's Christ. In the end, all you got. In the situation, in this crisis, in your internal soul, the fear, the anxiety, the struggle, the deal, that Christ is all you have. But in that place, you discover that you have His all. And when you come to the place where you discover that Christ is all you have and that you have His all, then you realize that He's all you need. And when you realize that, then you ultimately and in the end discover that He's all you really want. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And besides Thee, I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God, Jesus, is the strength of my heart, and He is my portion forever. And then everything else in your life takes its proper place. That marriage isn't your idol. Your children aren't your idol. Position, finances, possessions are no longer your idols. He's really, in the end, ultimately all you want. Everything else is just extra. And there's a freedom, a liberation, a contentment, and a satisfaction that comes with that. It's amazing. Again, discovering that He's all that you have and that you have His all. you realize that he's all that you need and ultimately really all that you want. That's the transformational thing that Paul went through. And he was just like you and me. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.